Hello and welcome to a Taylor's Tales podcast. This is Chris Corner. I'm your host, Chris Taylor, and today we're doing a nice catch-up podcast. It's been a long couple of weeks with coronavirus continuing to be prominent within the news, and with same old, it seems to be, with the majority of the world going on. As it dominates the news, coronavirus has now impended its restrictions upon the United Kingdom once more, with Boris Johnson creating a new three-tier system that we will not try to avoid talking about, because this is not a political podcast. This is Chris's Corner. This is a completely different area, but nonetheless, I thought I'd jump in with that. Today we're just going to be talking about some of the points that I've seen come up in the news regularly, what's going on in the next few episodes of the podcast, something I'm always excited to talk about because there is so many people who have agreed to come on and have given me their time to have a chat and have some meaningful conversations, because that's something that is key to me at the moment. What are we missing in society? I know, why do I get to judge? But, you know, that's the human way, isn't it, to think the world revolves in a certain direction. And I think it's key to have these meaningful conversations recorded, show that, you know, not everyone's the same. Not everyone's talking about certain topics, and that there is some sort of discussion happening where we're getting some fun, some, you know, some laughs, some relaxation, because it feels we're all up here. There's so much tension, you know, you can see it. You can see it in the world. And even though people are staying in their homes, you can start to understand that social media and the media itself and the news are really starting to make people feel that sort of uptightness. And in the United Kingdom, that is always been the case. Anyway, you see people on the train station, you see that sort of, oh, I'm going to work, I'm doing a job. And it's like, I remember doing that day in, day out for a couple of, like, 3 or 4 years of taking the train to and from work. And I personally love it, because it's time to decompress and just sort of read and relax and not think about, you know, too much, and it's time to switch off a little bit. But there are people I see who are just uptight. Is I don't like to say it, because it's judgment, but it is a judgment that is necessary in this case, because there's clearly a lack of human connection at the moment. I've addressed this before. We've talked about it before. But nonetheless, it's a reoccurring theme, is that there's two things. There's people's safety, and then there's people's happiness. And people's safety is now being prioritized over people's happiness at the moment. And I think that at some point, the frustration, as I've got it written down here, is building up in the nation. The frustration that is going to continue until there's a breaking point. Sadly, there will be. And people will just say, I've had enough. And I think that breaking point is going to come in March of next year. There's no longer going to be any winter. There's no going to be any cold flu season for the government, or any government across the world, to it for that matter, to not hide behind, but use as a way to manipulate, I want to say, in this scenario. And they're doing it for the right reasons. I get it. The overall is safety key. But at the same time, people are going to start to, they're going to want to start to travel. They're going to want to start doing the things they want to do. There's a, you know, there's the higher standard of living has been reached in the Western world. And therefore, people's standards for life have also risen. And that means that with those, as those standards get risen up, when they're taken away, you are starting to see now that as soon as you start taking those freedoms away, people want them back within quick thought. You know, something that I saw today, gyms being closed in the tier three system within the United Kingdom. I know that around the world, gyms are still closed in certain countries, and that others, they're completely open. And that's a mental health sort of, I would say that going to the gym for a lot of people is a way to take away that frustration, to decompress, to remove those shoulders, to move them down a little bit. And who am I to talk? I'm not a psychologist. I'm not someone who has a degree in that in any case. But nonetheless, I found for me personally, it works. And I'm lucky enough to be able to work out in my parents' garage and you know, and get on the road and go for a run. And that for me works. And it's helped me a lot. And I'm working as well. I'm lucky enough to work. I'm lucky enough to have that opportunity. And in today's society, that isn't the case. But back to the point is that at the moment, we're going to have to find ways to decompress, to remove that little bit of anxiety, that little bit of frustration. Anyway, I'm going on about this. That's only one point. That's only one point in the news. One point that I thought was rather funny, something that one of my mates, you know, you've heard Ollie Deacon speak before, fantastic speaker. He's actually addressed that at the moment, there's only one place in the world that you can go to have a good time and party. It seems to be Mexico. It's been brought up by quite a few podcasts that I listen to, is that there's no travel restrictions there for COVID, which makes it a key spot at the moment for people to go on holiday, to get away from this at the moment. And it seems to be on social media that people are happy to post about it with these huge parties, these huge gatherings of people. For me personally, that scares me a little bit, just a little bit, you know, just the fact that people are willing to, you know, put others at risk in this scenario. I get it. COVID doesn't, you know, that we've only had, and I say only, emphasis on the word only there, a million people die worldwide. But, you know, you put it in the sort of perspective of 7 billion. Where's your compassion, Chris? Where's your love for your fellow man? It's there. Don't you worry. But at the same time, I totally understand where these, you know, mainly young people go to Mexico and want to get away from this and have a good time and come back and de-stress. So for some people that is, it's like drinking. It's when people go to the pub, that, you know, when the pubs reopened, there was absolute pandemonium, and for good reason. You know, when you have a nation in that sort of a nation of people where they're restricted, and you see it with this 10 o'clock restriction in the United Kingdom as well, with pubs being closed at 10 o'clock, where you have these crowds of people, you know, what did you expect? What did any of us have expect? You know, it's the exact scenario that we'd see from human beings when they're gathered like that. And for me personally, there's no surprise there. There's no surprise. And I think it will continue to be like this. The more restrictions placed on them, the worse it will get. There'll be more, I hate to say it, but there will be riots in some way or another, as we saw with the protests. That will continue. It will continue. And we've seen, sadly, a die down. And this is because of how the news works. There's rise and falls in topics. Black Lives Matter's sort of spotlight has been removed, which is sad to see. But at the same time, I understand why people like to get that quick hit of news. They like that quick thunder of, oh, you're important for 5 minutes. Time to move on. We've got another important 5 minutes thing. And at the moment, obviously, coronavirus has taken the highlight. But as I said, like, people have got to find ways to be able to get out of this. And for me, I love discussing this in some way or another with you, the viewer, because for me, it's obviously a release to some way to have a semi rant. But at the same time, it's so interesting to consider these topics in the sense that, yes, there's good and bad. There's no side in this scenario where you can solely put the blame on one of these groups, because people are doing what is natural to them. There is one way for a certain human being to, how should we say, relieve themselves of, or find a way, an outlet to get out of this scenario. Anyway, I think that it's to do with mental health. I think that this is going to be the worst period of human, not history, there will always be a, there's always been worse cases, but in the 20th century, this will probably be the thing to remember, is where we see human beings become less communicative. We see that with social media, that is starting to see that in the newer generation, the generation below me. I've been lucky enough to have be, you know, I'm 25, so everyone else who's 25 at my age as well has been through this fantastic phase where they had, growing up, they didn't have technology, they didn't have phones and stuff, but they did have this ability to see every single piece of technology as we go up. Because I remember the Game Boy Yellow, that was like, that was killer, man. You used to play that in your car on long journeys, and the, you know, 2-hour journeys that used to feel like a lifetime for a kid at that time. And now they, you know, you go on a 2-hour journey as an adult and it feels like that. But you see these little slices of technology. So from the Game Boy to, you know, playing on a computer that wasn't you know, a thin, crisp piece of tech, to a brick, a physical thick piece of metal and plastic that you used to go on and you'd have the load up of that horrible sound that I'm not going to repeat on air of you leaving the internet. And I remember my mum having conversations with friends and you'd tell them to get off the phone so that you could go on the internet. Oh, it's just a completely different part of life. And something I wanted to bring up, this piece of news was, and everyone seems to have picked on this point, this documentary, but the social dilemma. Now, for me personally, as someone who's done a computer science degree, and as someone who's seen the tech industry for what I think it is, rather than what it is, it was really interesting to see these ex-tech employees basically say social media is the devil, basically. And the irony is, it's like, They're the ones who made it that way. And they were like, we didn't know what we were going to create. And you'll have to excuse me here, but I call, no, you knew exactly what you were doing. These people are extremely clever, right? They're extremely like logical. That is the point of computer science. The types of people who go into these degrees and go into these industries are super practical people, who are able to take problems and solve them. So the fact that they thought that they could come on this documentary and say that they didn't know what they were creating is rubbish. Absolute rubbish. I'm just sat there in awe. Because it don't get me wrong, it's terrifying for a lot of people who don't understand that governments control what you provide them, all the data that you provide them with. It's a network. You can be judged on what you do. And by me uploading YouTube videos and being interactive in YouTube, and me reading books and doing certain things and clicking on certain images and interacting within social media, I provide not just both governments, but these tech companies with data on me, and I create a spider web of data that they can use to basically provide advertisement and other things. But for me, it was knowledge. It was, you know, for me, when I watched it, I was like, did you guys not already know that? Like, I thought everyone knew this already. I thought this was common knowledge that, you know, we're all being tracked, and that the information that we provide these tech companies is valuable information. But sadly, this isn't. And it turns out when I talked to friends and family that they weren't aware of this, and that being tracked or having their social media as a platform for them to express views that can be easily used to be sold, and that these tech guys who are putting their hands up and saying don't blame me, it's kind of, don't get me wrong, I obviously see there's probably a few of them out there who are like, they genuinely didn't know what they were going to be doing, but I just can't believe that. These are like politicians. Like, they are clearly some of the, and they're not just like the average coder. These are some of the best of the best. They are some of the brightest who have been able to get these jobs at Facebook, Google. They are some of the smartest people out there. And you're expecting me, someone who is an average coder, to believe that you didn't know what you were doing when you were programming these social media platforms. It's just like, no, don't. And now they're saying to people to not use it. And that's like, that is literally like providing a child with sweets and saying, you're no longer allowed sweets. If you know what that sugar does to kids and you know what it did to you as a youngster, it's like, it's madness. Absolute madness. Anyway, move on. Too much of a negative thing here. But here's a solution for you. If you feel like you don't want to be tracked and you don't want Google to sell your data, use DuckDuckGo. It's a simple browser that doesn't track your data. Even if they do, it's nice to think that you're using a browser that doesn't track your data. So it's you know, there's clearly they have advertisement on there still, but you can always use an ad blocker. Again, this is advice that I probably shouldn't be giving, but you could, there's VPNs, there's so many ways of getting around it. If you want to know about this sort of stuff, I'm happy to do a full podcast based on tech. I doubt it. If you want that, give this a like. Fuck it. I'll bleep that out later. But you know, let's put it out there. Let's see what happens. I really doubt it though. I don't think people are that interested in tech. I think that people are happy to use these platforms, but they don't really want to know the ins and outs of what's going on behind them. And I don't think people are truly interested in losing their data. A lot of people's, and I genuinely think this, I think that the majority of people are like, what of it, Chris? No, I don't care if the government gets my data. I'm not doing anything that's illegal or weird or wonderful. And I'd just say to you, well, good for you. But, you know, you have a right to be able to say yes or no to whether people take your data or not. I think that's the main thing. It's consent, isn't it? And over the past 10 years, I think consent has been the word that's been used throughout the media, and general consensus is a big thing nowadays. So, you know, do it. Simple. Anyway, moving on. So we talked about Mexico, we talked about the social dilemma, frustration being built up in the nation, and we've talked about COVID continues to rule the news, as I continually say. Sport, always a topic of fun for me personally. And for those who don't know me, I'm an avid Chelsea fan. If you didn't get that from the previous episode 5 and episode 1, I'm sorry. This, for me, watching both Manchester United and Liverpool get slaughtered, not only by Tottenham and Aston Villa, which was hilarious to watch from my perspective. I know it's horrible to say it from that, but for me, growing up, Manchester United, not so much Liverpool. Liverpool I can live with. I was just shocked by that score. But Manchester United growing up were Chelsea's biggest rivals, I would say, because they were consistently had Alex Ferguson, they had Ronaldo, they had a squad that was challenging Chelsea from 2004 all the way up until 2011 until 2013 when Alex Ferguson retired. So between that period, and I was a youngster at school at that time, so for me personally, that was like the key. You know, you and your mates would argue over who's the best players, and there'd be like, who's better, Gerrard or Lampard? And it was obviously Lampard. I don't even care what anyone says, like Gerrard. Look at him as a manager now, not even slight. But anyway, my point being, the reason why I dislike Manchester United so much is purely because of growing up in that era, and also because it's just fun to see Man U lose, if I'm honest. There's a level of arrogance from that club that makes me just sit nicely here as a Chelsea fan. And even if Chelsea aren't, you know, doing that great, it's still fun. It's still fun to prod fun at Manchester United. Liverpool, that was just a shock. I was just like, what is going on here? We give Chelsea give Aston Villa Ross Barkley, and it's like we've given them Messi for like a game or something like that. It's mental, absolutely mental. And the fact that it was the first time that you saw the champions become quite vulnerable, and you saw it and you're like, whoa, this is the first time in the past like 3 years where we've seen Liverpool look a little bit weak on the defence. And I'm not one to talk about defence because Chelsea's is non-existent. But it's still interesting to see that, you know, for me, I thought Liverpool were going to just completely sweep the league this year. Completely, you know, I thought Chelsea were going to challenge them, but I knew that Liverpool had that edge. I still think Chelsea could challenge people if we get our, you know, get it together. But, you know, it's a toughie because it's a squad of new guys and a squad of youngsters. And there's a very few mature players within that squad. And so, it, you know, there's a little bit of irony here that we replace, we get a keeper to basically mop up Kepa's errors, and then he gets injured. And so we're back to square one again. And so it's this, what do we do? We've got Willy Caballero as a replacement who's like 38, 39, and it's like, oh, man, it's not. Yeah, the goalkeeper situation for Chelsea will continue to get worse, and I don't think anytime soon we're going to sort that out. But what you can do is give keepers time because it's a very fragile situation. Anyway, onto a completely different topic that I don't think I've talked too much about on is Bill Burr, one of my favourite podcasters and comedians. He's a genius with his podcast because he does a very similar rant scenario where he does a 30 to 40 minute podcast where it's just him talking, which I love. I personally think he does a fantastic job. But we got to see him over the past week on SNL hosting. And my God, it's the first time I've watched an SNL host be a little bit edgy and not pander. Like, the audience is left-wing progressive, very progressive people who aren't really into that sort of humour. And I loved the fact that when Bill Burr took a shot at white women and he was just... And you knew for a fact that in that front row, there were a bunch of Karens just sat there like having to laugh because this guy was making all these solid points. And it was genius. He did flawless job. The internet should be applauding this man for taking a mainstream media television show and making it look good. TV for presenting for me is a dead art. And for me, the fact that Bill Burr made these TV presenters look even worse than they already are, like with Jimmy Kimmel and that lot, and just makes me cringe. I remember back in the day, I really liked Graham Norton on BBC. I thought he was genuinely interesting, and then it just got, you know, dulled down, I felt, for him. Like, over time, it's just become, the TV presenting has just become this sort of very fake, it's unrelatable. It really is. It's just like this sort of just unrelatable. That's all it is. Anyway, Bill Burr, fantastic. Amazing. So there's not a lot in the news at the moment, generally speaking. There's more of the same. There's more stuff. There's nothing interesting coming out of the film industry at the moment, mainly because it's being torn apart by the current situation of the world. The music industry is currently being torn apart as well. There's very few live acts because of the current situation. So all of these amazing things that you'd love to, you know, even stand-up comedy that people would love to go see, it's gone. So all of these things that people would normally go to alleviate themselves, it's just disappearing. And so I think that YouTube and these online videos and what people are doing at the moment to create content is just the forefront of providing people with that ability to get away from the world a little bit, and or maybe hear some reality, a little bit of common sense, or just do, you know, a little bit of fun, like where I've talked about Lord of the Rings and been a nerd on live air, and, you know, just let the world know that, you know, there's fun to be had from talking about your favorite things. There's fun to be had with your mates talking garbage about, you know, the meaning of life when nobody really cares. It's just how it is. And finding that niche and finding that fun is so key, because it just puts a smile on your face and it just makes you forget the current situation that you're in. And I think that's the main thing with YouTube and Netflix and all of these programs. Because do you remember when we had The Tiger King on Netflix back in March or April? People forgot that they were in lockdown. People forgot the current situation. It was everywhere on social media. Everyone was there was about a month within lockdown where everybody was pure. There was just this buzz of we can get through this, and it just slowly but surely got sucked out of people, and just slowly but surely people are just becoming less and less interested because their livelihoods are threatened and because life isn't easy for people at the moment. And so it's so much easier to get lost in the current world. But let's not forget, the real world is a good place. There's a lot of good things going on, a lot of hardworking people out there. We saw the London Marathon virtually the other day where people are running in the pouring rain. Mate, I did 8 miles in that. I was dying. I was absolutely enthralled by the fact that people had the ability to continue to run in that. Those conditions were awful. Awful. Couldn't have had a worse day for people to run. Just for me personally, congratulations to those, like round of applause to all of those who had the ability to run through that. Personally, if I run a marathon, has to be in good conditions personally. I may sound like a little bit of a bitch right there, but what are you gonna do? I'm not a professional. I am literally just someone who runs for fun, and that's how it should be in my mind. Anyway, speaking of fitness, plans for the coming podcast. The first one is a fitness and mental toughness podcast with a guest. And this is so much fun to record. This was a lot of fun to record. The guest I've got on in episode 11, he's really kicked it up a gear. And there are a couple of messages in there that I think are little gems, diamonds in the rough. And I thoroughly enjoyed that conversation. It went all over the place. We were everywhere. And it seems to be a common theme within my podcast where I'll take it to all corners of the conversation and we'll have to get back on track. And we will lose our way amongst the level of conversation. But that's it. It's just how it goes. Sometimes it can start off a little slow and then it goes into some serious bang. Like you'll notice that there's a little bit of like, you know, fakeness in the intro, and then it goes into, we're going to get some real questions. We're going to get a few laughs. We're going to feel, you know, a little bit of ease, less anxiety. And as you get into these podcasts around, I would have said, after the first 5 minutes, you're fine. You're in there. And from there on out, it's just fun. But this one especially, talking about mental toughness, which is, I think, is key at the moment. It's one of the things that is being challenged in today's age is mentality and the ability to do stuff that you don't want to do and continue to do it. So we talk about one of our heroes, Goggins. He's just an absolute. He deserves the sort of label of toughest man on earth, because he continues. It's not just doing the one thing, the tough mudder or the marathon or the miles. It's continuing to do those things. It's continuing to turn up to work day after day after day, and then coming home from work and still doing that exercise and still getting on, you know, doing whatever you want to do. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the ability to still talk to your friends and family, still have that ability to see them once or twice a year and still have that amazing conversation where it's like, I haven't seen this person in a year, but it feels like it was only yesterday that I saw them. It's stuff like that. It doesn't have to just be exercise. It can be a lot of things. It can be writing. Currently, something that I've been doing, I'm now 45 days in. Who saw that coming? 45 days of me writing in a row. It's madness. Absolute madness. And it's in a journal, and it's already half full. I'm just madness. And I'm 77 days into reading my books at the moment. You got three new books up there because I'm getting so fast through it at the moment that it's crazy. So that's what we mean. And we delve into that podcast, and we delve in deeper about a lot of personal topics for the guest especially. I really appreciate his ability to do that. And wow, just brilliant. The next one, of course, linking on again, it's a nice double sort of mental toughness. We're going back to Jocko's book with the Leadership Strategy and Tactics Guide, which is just I've read it so many times now that it just reminds me that how much fun it is to remind you that there's a guy out there who's providing leadership, sort of step-by-step guide for every man, woman and child out there in the world. And he's doing it by providing you with this book. And I love analysing it, and I love pointing out that, yeah, there's some flaws, but there's also some absolute killer points in that book. And it's brilliant. And it reminds people that you can have a little bit of fun, you know, reading books and getting some knowledge. Knowledge is everything in this day and age. So another one, we got something that I did talk about that I wasn't sure whether I was going to do, but we are doing it now. We're going to do a music podcast where we talk about music, like the influence of music on us as young people. I've got another guest. Hopefully that goes through. Myself and the guest have completely different schedules, so we'll see how that goes. If not, it's just going to be another one. Hopefully it's with the guest. If not, we've got another solo one. Then of course we've got the Return of the King part one with Ollie Deacon, who, as we've seen with previous podcasts, we've got some extremely analytical, extreme meaning within these films, which I love doing. We're going to be continuing. That's going to be a commonality. So you can, I imagine you guys have spotted the theme in these podcasts. There's going to be recordings of every five. There is a structure of guest, sort of book, guest, film, solo. And it will go like that. And at the moment, the structure works for me personally. It seems to provide a different topic for different people, and so we're going to have a podcast which covers, I did mean when I wrote on the podcast, a podcast that covers everything. I wanted to do that. I didn't want to stay in one path or stay in one area. I wanted to spread out and cover as much as I can and enjoy that. So yeah. And then, of course, in podcast 15, we do another one of these catch-ups where I talk about the news, talk about general shenanigans, and, you know, just have a little bit of a rant in some areas because, I don't know. I think that for me, as I've said, I don't like to filter my energy onto other people. And this is the best way to do it without pissing people off. Yeah, that's probably a good way of putting it. But at the end of the day, I love doing it. Not going to stop doing it. I think that even with my job taking up a lot of my time and doing this and investing and reading and writing and trying to continue with the languages that I've been studying for a while, and continue to try to meditate when I can and try to get some quality sleep. That no one really talks about is that sleep is key to recovery, and also exercise, running loads of miles, and trying to have some sort of conversation and catch ups with friends outside of all of this, and try at some point to travel when all of this is over, which for me I won't be doing until March of next year, because most likely that while winter is around, it just isn't possible. And I don't think it's a good idea for me personally at this point in time, especially with friends and family who I feel are vulnerable and I wouldn't want to have that on my conscience at any point in my life. So, yeah. Anyway, not having it on a negative, we're going to end it on this. Mental toughness, let's get out there. Let's find outlets for ourselves to relieve that frustration. Let's get those shoulders down. Let's get some of that energy out. Let's not feel that the world is on our shoulders, because it's not. As individuals, we have the right to make ourselves better so that the rest of the world can benefit from it. That's how it should be. That's how I feel about it. I hope you feel the same way, because it means that you are trying to become a better person while you're watching this or listening to this, and you may be exercising or reading or writing or something along those lines, trying to make yourself better, because no one's perfect, but no one is awful either, because you can go from awful to something. If you start at the bottom, you can only go up. I know, I've been there. So, ending it on that positivity. Nothing, something. And from something to better. This has been the Taylor's Tales podcast. I'm your host, Chris Taylor, and this has been Chris's Corner. Goodbye now.